Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 319, part 2, the conclusion to Hearts. Today is Sunday, November 24th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Ever try to make your kids look at something? Now, this is just like God trying to get his children, trying to get them. Now, look what you've done. And they look right at it, but they don't acknowledge. Can you see that? Can you? Now, admit it. You see that mess. And they look at it, but they won't acknowledge they did it. And they just look at it with sort of a stupid look on their face. That's how God views us, and it grieves him. Now, you're looking right at it. I've got you to see it. You're actually seeing the plain truth, as plain as a nose on your face. What's the problem? Won't acknowledge that you did anything wrong. Will not acknowledge that your perfectness can be wrong, in some very rare instances, of course. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Won't acknowledge, even though you do see, and God gets you to see it, you won't acknowledge it. Oh, so they're there. So what? They're not my brother's keeper. Yes, you are. What should I take care of their needs for? I got hard enough time taking care of my own. Well, that's why you do have trouble taking care of your own. Man, what a problem we got here. Getting people to see, and when you do see, they won't acknowledge there's anything wrong. Well, I see it. Yeah, I see it. Leave me alone. Won't acknowledge. And even your little ones, I bet even now your little ones, sometimes they won't acknowledge things. It's just in our nature, isn't it? You get them, you screw their head around, make them look right at their mess, and they still won't acknowledge it. Screw their head around, and that's the way God does with us. Okay, now I'm going to make you look at this. Look at this terrible thing. Take a look at it. But you won't acknowledge it's sin. You won't acknowledge it's sin not to help someone. You won't acknowledge sin in your own life. You won't acknowledge it. Well, that happens to people that hear the gospel all the time. See, when it forces itself upon their beliefs, I don't know if I exactly go along with that. You don't have to go along with anything. But what you do have to do, believe is, in miracles, hey, the biggest miracle that God wants you to believe is that Jesus Christ came to save you. That is the best miracle that ever happened to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I want you to do. Don't do anything else. Just acknowledge the Son. Now, I've got you to look at Him. You see Him, and you see what's wrong in your life. Now, acknowledge it. And so they can't really argue divine truth. The Word comes in like a sledgehammer. And yet, they brace themselves up to bear the blow, and they will not yield. Your kids get like that, do they? And they brace themselves. Okay. I won't. And that's the same way we get. They will not swallow the golden gospel, just like your kids won't eat. They have the food in both of their mouth, and there's cheeks on the sides. They look like some kind of a little gopher. They won't eat it. They will not eat it, and they're holding it in their mouth. Just like people won't swallow the golden gospel. You've got them to see it now, you've got them to acknowledge it now, but they won't swallow it. I won't bite on that. And so there sat the scribes, and there sat the Pharisees. Well, I thought to myself, it's a wonder that the stones didn't cry out against them. They would not admit that, I believe, which they could not deny. They couldn't deny it. It was as plain as the nose on their face. But they wouldn't acknowledge it. Yes, yes, I see it. Yes, we finally see he has a withered arm, but you have not answered the legal question, the legalities of it. No, it's the Sabbath. You know what the law says. And Jesus came to set them free from that law, from that bondage. I know what it says. Well, it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for... But I say unto you, I, God, on earth say to you, I'm right here. The law was set up to show you that you couldn't make it, and look at you. Self-righteous. You won't make it to heaven. That whore over there will make it before you do. Her righteousness exceeds yours because she's accepted my righteousness. And so again, they would not admit that which they could not deny. Did you ever ask somebody and they can't deny it? Was that the truth? No, they don't deny it. But they won't admit it either. And more than that, folks, while they would not see what was so plain, they were trying to find some kind of a little flaw, don't you know, or a fault in God, in Jesus Christ. Well, so many say, I don't understand the gospel. And yet, they don't understand it, but they argue against it. Why argue against something you don't understand? You know, I just don't understand the gospel. And then they go ahead and they argue about it. Or I don't know where my money goes, so I won't send any over there. I don't believe in sending money over there. Yet, they'll argue about Ethiopia. Well, I mean, if you aren't sending anything, what's the argument? There may be some conviction there. I don't know. Why don't you get free? And so they look for flaws in the scriptures. And they find mistakes here and there, according to them, according to Hoyle. What wisdom. To be diligent in making discoveries against one's own eternal interests. What folly. That's like a person down at work down there, Mick, writing up everything they did wrong for the whole week, as if you should care, as if you, you know. Well, boss, here's everything I did wrong, as if you didn't know. Here, boss, here's a list of what I've done wrong, just my mistakes for the week. I was late 2 times. I had a lousy attitude. I stole 8 pencils, Mick. And I called you several names behind your back, I did. I took 16 extra coffee breaks, I did. Yeah, think of that, Mick. And each one of those coffee breaks, by the way, was a half hour, guy. And I went home early twice. Mm-hmm. And Mondays, I don't go to work until noon anyway. Isn't that right? You don't want to hear all that, do you? And so then the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is man's only hope for salvation. The only hope. When everything else is flagging and going down, there's only one blessed hope left, and that's the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. And if we won't do it, angels are going to fly back and forth and minister to the end time. And what a pity, I guess you'd have to say, to count up the height of cleverness to destroy our only hope. I said to count it the height of cleverness to destroy our only hope, and the only hope that's left here right now is the salvation of souls by the admitting of sin, by the seeing where they're wrong, and the admitting it and acknowledging that the Son, the only begotten Son, can lead you to repentance and give you that repentance and see you saved. Do you hear that, legalist? The only hope. And you stand in the door, and like that ancient Pharisee and the scribes, you are the direct descendants of those, and you stand in the door to the only hope. God, help us. Are you hearing this message? They tried to find fault with the faultless, and in the end, people all over are going to try to find fault with the faultless Jesus. They will not see their own wickedness in merely opposing Him. See, that is the worst of all sins. The unpardonable sin is when you don't receive pardon, of course. You cannot give someone pardon if by their own free volition, their own will, they will not receive it. Therefore, that is the coming against the Holy Spirit. The wooing of the Holy Ghost. They dared, in other words, to sit in judgment upon the Lord. And that's what will happen in the end again. It's not you they hate. It's Jesus Christ in you. It's time to come out with a realistic gospel. I mean, hey, it's turned into a carnival on TV. It's turned into a carnival where, you know, it's fair play for everybody, the inquirer. Someone should inquire of the inquirer, where do you get your news? From hell? Where do you get these stories from, hell? And what do you find interesting in all of this gossip anyway, folks? What's the fascination with someone that's fallen into sin? What's the big surprise anyway? Jesus says you're all sinners. But God will have his own way anyway, won't he? And people see people obeying the Lord. Where were you when I was sick, a prisoner, and a widow? Where were you when I was hungered? Where were you when I was in a prison? Where were you?
Well, we were dusting off our law books and our doctrines and stuff and keeping them in order, and we waxed them all up real neat and we wrapped them up in plastic and stuff for people to see later on down the line, don't you know? We cracked open a little hole in the side of the building and plastered it shut. Isn't that good?
What's that got to do with the feeding of people, with the saving of souls? What's the arguing of all this doctrine and how holy you are on your own? What's that got to do with it anyway? What's all this finger pointing going to do? It's like a bunch of kids. Nee, nee, nah, nee, no, no. Didn't Jesus, by his miracles, prove to be divine? All the miracles is so numerous that all the books of all the world, of all the libraries of the world, could not contain the many miracles he did. Oh, my. And yet they professed great reverence for God and his law. The Bible says, behold, it is old and passing away. I'll give you a new covenant, not made by human hands, but one made in the heavenlies. One divine, beautiful revelation. God come in the flesh. He says, I'll blot it all out. There's no way you kids are going to make it without me. How long would you kids make it out without your mom and dad working if they just left you? How long would your kids make it, Marty, if you just said, hey, California, here I come, huh? Bye, kids. Fend for yourselves. The little guy standing with a dirty little blanket and his thumb in his mouth. And the other one standing there, huh? With a baseball bat over the smaller one's head. So long. It's been good to know you. And then your wife leaves and leave them all alone. Praise God that God, Jesus never leaves you or forsakes you. Never. Isn't that great? Isn't that what the people want to hear right now? One, that stick is closer than a friend. Hallelujah! And yet, I said they professed reverence to God and to the law. And fighting against God, they made a pretense of being very zealous for him. You ever see someone that's zealous for God, but everybody is slain all along the road. Bodies are laying all over and they're zealous for God. Onward Christian soldiers, stamping on their faces, huh? Well, you work with people that are zealous and they ruin more than that they put together. Like, this is a day of rest and you should not perform any miracles. Oh, hey, let this guy's arm stay till Monday. Monday, huh? Now, yeah, that's a trick of the enemy to point to the outward. Well, here it is right here in the law. It's a Sabbath. Now, what's is greater, the law or the grace of God that'll fix that arm? Yeah, that's the trick of the enemy, to point to the outward. Huh? To lift up the external religion and never possess Jesus Christ. Lift up our vases and our plants and our lamp swinging and our smoke and our candles and our ritual and our doctrine and how we baptize and how we do this and how we do that, and lift all that up.
Lift him up, lift him up, lift your law books. Huh?
No, lift up Jesus. Yeah, it doesn't say in there, lift up your doctrine and all men will be drawn onto your doctrine, your law books and your baptismal tanks or however you do it. Lift up Jesus. Are you against water baptism? I'll never listen to you again. No. But the main thing here is Jesus Christ must be lifted up. Not the way you perform. See, even those things can become a law. Can't they? You can make a law out of accepting Jesus. You have to accept him a certain way. Only on the Sabbath. And you've got to come right before the altars of the certain church. Okay? Come forward. This is the only church you can be saved in. The rest of them are off. Any church that recognizes Jesus as Lord, God, come to earth on the flesh, died on the cross, shed his blood that all sins would be covered, died, rose again from the grave on the third day. That's it. That's it. Isn't it? That's it. Well, that's too simple. Well, let's fill up rooms and libraries that the world cannot contain of our smartnesses. Is that a good word? I think it's a great word. Harden not your heart. And then we have the non-committal. They anger the Lord, don't they? They strictly are in neutral. You ever had somebody that's in neutral all the time? They stay in right in neutral. And so you can push them either way. Someone comes up, pushes them. Huh? And someone comes and pushes them from behind. Pushes them this way. Pushes them that way. Huh? Neutral. Any wind of doctrine. Oh, that angers the Lord. Non-committed. In neutral. And they're closed mouth either way. I'm just not going to say anything. Well, what do you think of that? No, I don't voice my opinion on anything. Mm-mm. I've learned my lesson. The wait see boobs. They wait see. They wait see if the bandwagon looks, if it's a big enough band on there and the cymbals are big enough and the drums are big enough and the horns are big enough and the tuba is big enough, then they jump on. Are you hearing this message? If it's big enough, they'll jump on. If they can get some kind of a glory out of it and people will notice them, they'll jump on. But otherwise, they're in neutral. In heaven, there is no provision made for the neutrals. The indecisive. Neutrals over here. Can you see that in heaven? All the neutrals go over there on neutral firma. Can you see that in heaven? We love neutrals, huh? Those are the people that manage to stay silent and not take sides. While Christians were persecuted, you stayed quiet. That was neutral. And yet when they were flying high, you kept quiet too. You were neutral. That took character. Come on in. Oh, no. No, no. No, no, newts. No newts will make it. You have to commit your ways unto the Lord. You have to commit your life unto the Lord. You have to commit your soul unto the Lord. No, you are neither tares or wheat. You're neutral. Isn't that sickening when somebody's neutral? And they're just sort of neutral? Man, I'd rather see a great big old nasty doing sinner, somebody that's got guts enough to do it, than somebody that's just neutral. Huh? They have more character than the newts. The people that just started neutral. No, there'll be no provision made for the neutrals. People are just neutral. Sort of just hang in there and neutral. Huh? Neutrals over here. There's no place in heaven for them. There's a place for sinners. And you know what? The only people that will make it to heaven are people that admit they were sinners, and they're sinners saved by grace is the only... If you can't admit you're a sinner because you were in neutral. I never took sides. I never did. You ever have a kid like that? I hate a friend like that. And he'd always get into his house and say, I didn't do nothing. He was neutral and he's always snitching on everybody else. And even the parents get to, oh man, get out of my face. You know what I mean? At least Johnny here, he's got his hugs at night and he's got frogs in his pockets and he's mean half of the day and nice half of the day, but he's committed. Some of the high energy people that I get down here are people from the court system. Came in there because they did wrong. And when they come in here and they have an opportunity to do right, they don't argue about what they do. They don't come in also, hey, I'm in here helping. Boy, big deal. You're working for the Lord. And they come in here and you know, they want to work. They're high energy people. They're as apt at doing good as they are evil. They're high energy. But a non-committed folk, the neutral folks, then it's sort of, well, treat me nice or I'll quit. I ain't kidding you. Hey, I got better things to do than come down here and do this and that and so on like that. And just better treat me nice. Well, I'll be leaving. I'll stay 1 hour today and then the next day I'll stay an hour and a half. But that's the best I can do. Neutral. Man, who needs it? Come on. Do you want people like that working in your shop? You listening on the radio? Neutrals? Now, right, Mick, aren't neutrals, aren't they a pain? They're busy watching everybody else. They're a neutral, and they're busy running till, well, Mick, you know what? I'd hate to say anything. It seems like they spend all their time idling, and they're a neutral watching everybody else. What are they doing? I mean, it says that there are sideliners, people that are in neutral, just sitting there with their motors humming. See, the race is going on and they're in neutral. The work is going on and they're in neutral. They're like on a treadmill. What good are they? No, you're neither a tare or a wheat. What are you? You aren't good or you aren't evil. You're nothing. You're not moved either way. Shame on you, I'd say, for treating the Lord so badly. There is no place in heaven for you. You are a lukewarmer. But then there are people that are very tender towards people. And that's nice, isn't it? You love everybody, but you love everybody but the Lord. And many are fond of pleasing people, aren't they? They're people pleasers. You ever been around people pleasers? They're always pleasing people. Well, what can I do for you today? Huh? They're so busy pleasing people, they can't be Christians. They love to have people loving them for what they're doing for them. They have no moral courage, in other words, to oppose anyone for the truth's sake. And this could make Jesus look upon you with anger and grief. The nukes, the non-committed, the tender towards people, that you should be so, let's say, what word can I use there? Self-denying. so kind, so considerate to others, yet be so cruel to yourself and to him? I think it's cruel to yourself to not speak out. Isn't that right? Your fear is driving you to spiritual suicide, folks. To save a little present trouble, sometimes you are heaping up wrath and judgment. You don't want to enter in. There might be a little trouble there. Trouble right down here in River City. Don't want to enter into that. No. Let's go the easy route here. And some even have occasional meltings. Like the man who has a very, very hard heart. Who at times he's moved, but he violently sometimes represses these emotions. And he hurries home and he weeps and he cries and his pillow is all wet and his couch is all wet. Or maybe he goes to a funeral and he's touched but soon forgets and out he goes again. He likes to hear a stirring sermon. Oh, wow, that really got me. But then he never goes beyond his shallow life to live it. He's on watch against his own welfare. And he almost yields at times to the beckoning of the Lord. How hard is your heart? You're on the verge. You're listening on the. You're much on the verge. You're on the verge. And yet you deliberately go back to the garbage can and sin against your conscience, and not only your conscience, but your conviction. And some even weigh their sins. You know, there's, well, I, that's that. Now that's one thing I would never do. Well, big deal. All sin is sin. And so they have learned to sin deliberately. But only certain sins, they weigh them, like at the meat store, you know. And give me 1 pound of stealing, a year, and 3 pounds of boozing once a week, and give me 8 pounds of little white lies, and let's see, what else should I have here? Oh, yes, give me 7 pounds of covetousness. There, that's all for me. I will not go beyond that. I've had my ration. That's my portion. My bag is moderation. See, hardness of heart can sneak up on you. Hardness of heart in the world got that way in degrees, didn't you? A little bit at a time. You started out, you were a nice little baby. You weren't hard. Then you went to school and maybe a few things happened to you, and you got harder and harder and harder in degrees. And you can get that way the same way spiritually. You can get hard spiritually in degrees. People affect you. Churches affect you. You affect you. Life affects you. And your heart gets petrified a little bit at a time. Sometimes there's people that used to shudder at swear words, and now it doesn't bother them at all. Maybe you're a man that used to pray always, now once in a while. Maybe you used to love church, but now once a week is too much. Maybe you used to read the Word, but now never. Maybe your involvement has dropped down to zero, minus. Maybe you've lost your sensitivity. The Bible says, exhort one another daily while it is yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, how fearful I am that the hardened hearts are getting harder all the time. God, it's got to be that way, doesn't it, though? When you look at this the way it is right now, doesn't it look like hearts are getting harder? Now we're thinking about cutting Social Security, and I mean, you know, and I just told you about what they're planning on doing with the elderly and how they can get out of this old world by just, you know, signing a piece of paper. Isn't that hardness of hearts? Isn't it? Some of you listening on the radio, and I'm closing, or maybe to this tape, have been blessed with so much. You've been blessed with education, a good mother and a good father, good homes, good positions. And yet your hearts are hardened against the gospel, against mankind. And you know, you have no gratitudes towards God. And I think we have so many ungrateful people in this land of ours. Oh, man. If any nation and any people should be grateful, I'm talking about on the whole. Sure, there's the underprivileged and so on like that, but that's our fault and that's our sin. But if there's any nation, for the most part, that is ungrateful for what God has given it, it's this land right here. Ungrateful. Man, take a look at everything that we have. Even the castaway stuff. Look at the stuff we get to give away. It's perfect. Do you know, Jim, I watched a program in Japan for those melons that you got out there. $125 for a watermelon in Tokyo. Steaks. Five little steaks like that. $150. Thank you, Jesus, for all of that beef that we have. Let's start being grateful, folks. Huh. And so we sit with an abundance. And I should say there are those that sit with abundance, but maybe they are sitting on their abundance. They're big fat abundances. And then there are some that have endured many, many trials. And they refuse to be softened. Now you can take a trial and you can take a sorrow and you can take something like that. And you can carry on with it. You can put on an old record, an old sweater, and put up some old Coca-Cola posters up there and live in the land of Ubladi way back there, where they make their houses out of scotch tape and clarinet reeds and just get into it, you know what I mean? And sit around wishing it was some other way, some other person, Betty Lou or Jimmy Joe or something. They passed! Pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. There is only one hope. Yeah, we've been blessed with so much. And yet our hearts are hardened, many of you listening, against the gospel, against mankind. You have no gratitudes towards God. Yeah. And when the trials come, our hearts get harder and harder and harder. One more trial. Oh, trial number 9,999. Wow. Ooh. One more thing happens to me, that's it. I was with a group of preachers one time, and the guy told me he was having some problems with his son. This is years back, and he said, one more thing, I'm going to leave God. Well, I said, that's easier said than done. Where are you going to go? Are you going to jump off this planet? You're going to, or what? No matter where you go, if you go to hell, God will be there. If you go to that black hole, that opening in the sky, zillion light years away, God will be there. Oh no, you'll never get away, you'll never get away, huh? You can't get away. You cannot get away. What a comfort that is. Woo, what a comfort that is. You cannot get away. I have preached truth myself to many people, and yet it has not softened them. And they can see the gospel in action, and it won't soften them. And they can look at it, but they won't acknowledge it, and they won't receive it, and they treat it like it was nothing. They look upon the beautiful things that God has given us, and it's, well, that's nothing. You ought to see what we did over here, or we did over there. And we treat it like it's nothing. We treat the miracles and the abundance, which of course is a miracle, the abundance like it was nothing. And so people refuse the gospel and they become hard-hearted. Oh, how we need to give people the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ in a very realistic way. The gospel of Jesus Christ in action. See, we've left the gospel for a whole lot of nonsense. And many right now from the movement from 1972 right now have become hard. Not only hard, they become callous. Not only callous, they become mean. They are ready to be glued onto Mount Rushmore. Oh, there's a stone face over there. Teddy Roosevelt, and whoever else is on there, Washington, Lincoln. And there's old hard-hearted, glued with some Elmer's glue right to the Mount Rushmore. We've left it. We've left the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why so many hearts are hard right now. The scribes and the Pharisees, in closing, were fault finders. They found fault with Jesus for healing on Sunday. And, you know, if it wouldn't have been that, it would have been something else. They always found something wrong. See, because they meant to object to everything. They were resolved to contradict. What a resolve that is when a person, when they resolve themselves to be always the opposite, always contradicting, always the, that's not quite right way. That's not quite the way I see it, gospel. They resolve to contradict. Yeah, millions in our day are hardening their hearts by the habit of fault finding. You want to get a hard heart? Start finding fault with everything. Your heart will get hard. And this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. That's wrong. Yep, 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 yep. Start breathing hard. Get arthritis. Come on over here. What'd you find wrong? Oh, I found this. Really? Oh. What'd you find wrong? One time, there was a group sitting here, and they said, well, our pastor, we're moving into town. Our pastor told us to go around to all the churches. We're going to go to 12 churches, and then we're supposed to go back and let him know what we found wrong with each church and which one we decided to come to. Oh, well, I said, I'm not going to be under your scrutiny, but you're going to be under the scrutiny from the Word of God, okay? So you're just going to sit here, and you're going to receive this message. If you receive it not, well, you receive it not. Because it doesn't matter to me at all whether you stay here or not. In fact, you can get up and leave right now. If that's your testimony to get up and see that you come to find fault, let me say it for the other 11 churches you're going to be going to. Oh, no, you're the last one. I said, praise God for the Church of Jesus Christ that I'm the last one. Oh, yeah, fault finding. That it's all over and our hearts can get so hard, can't they? While others are struck by the beauty of the gospel, which they hear. These people only remember the mince pronunciations the pastor made. And you know, having this sort of a spirit, soon they will start alterations in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll change tittles and dots. Just to have something to argue about, don't you know? So reverence is gone. Self-suffering. That reigns supreme. They criticize God's word. And in the end, it says this will happen. It's happening right now. People criticizing on talk shows the word of God. Well, any fool can do that, but only a fool will do that. They call themselves literary men. They are not the commonplace hearers, don't you know? They require something more intellectual, something more spiritual, something more heavenly, something more. Let's stay up all night on Saturday night and prophesy over each other and speak smooth things to each other. But let's don't get involved. Let's don't see and let's don't hear the cries of the people. And let's just sort of float along, okay? And I got a card in the mail for another march that is going to happen, to March on Washington. How about marching on the north side? How about staying home and washing your dirty dishes? Huh? Instead of marching on Washington. What business does the Church of Jesus Christ have a marching on Washington? You can get down on your hands and knees and pray and reach God. Don't you think you can reach Washington? And don't you think you can reach your church? And don't you think you can reach each other by just simply praying? What a wonderful vehicle. Instead of getting on some old bus and riding all the way there and standing on the Capitol steps eating a hot dog you paid $4 for, meaner than hell itself, with your bunions hurting. That's what happens. It does. People fly there and they take foot a horseback and they beat the horse. Ha! Washington! And they get there and they say, well, what are we here for? For what? A political rally? To be seen a man? To stand on the street corners and cry out prayers? Long prayers? No. Why not brighten the corner where you are? Huh? Or isn't that exciting enough? I think so many times we're so hard and we're so callous and we won't see. And when we do see, we won't acknowledge. And when we do acknowledge, we say, oh, that's nothing. I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to march on the Capitol. So what? What's that got to do with anything?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 319. That was part two, Two Hearts. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to the blog and the podcast. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday's message, Stand. Have a great week, and God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country.
under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.